When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, guys? This is not your Rampage review show here on Fightful. We have not crossed over into the third hour. This is your AEW Dynamite post show here on Fightful. That's Alex Pawlowski. I'm John Alba in for Sean Ross Sapp this week. Once again, we're back at it, and we will be taking a look at this AEW Dynamite show that just had a pretty lengthy overrun before they crossed over into Rampage. Yeah. And as Rampage is on, Alex is our on-the-scene correspondent. By that, I mean from his chair, watching and letting us know. How you doing,
Live. Alex? Yep. I'm doing good. I'm just, they're starting out with Jay White versus Dante Martin, so that should be good. I'll let you know who wins. I won't be able to actually watch all the action because I'll be talking with you about what I thought was a fairly decent Dynamite. And it ended with a really great angle that I think tells us a lot about Kenny Omega's current state and where he will be in a few months and the plans they might have for him going forward. But as a general rule, I'm kind of against heel authority figures because it usually feels like it's that they make the thing all about that. And then there's not a lot of room to maneuver around it. But right now I feel like this angle could be transformative for AEW. And so I'm looking forward to seeing where they go. I certainly trust Matthew and Nicholas Jackson to know what they're doing with it. But right now it's got me interested in how badly they will wield the power until somebody comes around to usurp them.
It's good. Yeah. Stuff. I'm looking forward to diving into this angle with you for sure, because last week we were left on one note with it.
Right.
And a lot has happened in the week since. And yeah. It's definitely, I love the word you use, transformative, because it could end up being that way, or it may well end up being not that. Yep. But before we get into any of that, I want to remind everyone, number one, FightfulSelect.com. Get in on that. It's the best $5 in wrestling. That Fightful Select has already had multiple updates today on several different stories. So, Sean, even though you're not with us right now, we're sending you your best, and thanks for keeping everyone updated on everything. I also want to remind everyone to get your super chats in. We'll get your comment, your question read on air here as we recap Dynamite. There were a couple humper chats that I wanted to get to. I was on the hump earlier and we didn't get a chance to get into them earlier. So I just want to get this one from Nulak City. Hey guys, first sending love to SRS. Jimmy is right. Some people just want to hate anything Tony does first. That angle really tied in perfectly with the NFL draft and got a lot of coverage second. This looks like a reason to being an on-screen GM. Yeah. And then also saying, Jimmy, in wrestling, you can always make up a clause on why someone can't be fired. However, the biggest success failure in these hostile takeover stories is having strong faces to fight against the takeover. Can't just be cool heels beating up all the faces. And I think both of those chats will tie into our conversation that we are going to have over the course of this show, which began with the Tony Khan segment where he's addressing running Dynamite from Jacksonville. And then, Alex, the Elite cut him off. They're in the control room and they say, this is our show now, baby. And I thought this was a fantastic.
It's the equivalent of the, oh, I'm sorry, I'm breaking up. I'm going through a tunnel. I can't hear you. It's the equivalent of that. It was good. It was good stuff.
Yes, I thought so too. And we talked about this a little bit last week where we both kind of felt like the Elite should be running the show. And I want to echo a point from last week too, where we talked about the A story storytelling, where you're checking in with what your main focus is going to be multiple times throughout the episode. And I thought once again, For whatever reason, it took until the Elite to be involved in order to do this, but look how effective it is in helping tell a story over the course of an episode.
Right. No, I thought that it was, knowing that they're in charge, knowing that they're calling the shots, they basically handpicked the guy who's facing Swerve. They decided to add a stipulation to Willow's title defense for Rampage on the fly. Once you decided, okay, well, there's somebody else who is in charge of running the show. Someone else is calling the shots. Once you've established that, then I feel like you owe it to the story to have things go differently. Otherwise, it just feels like we're watching a regular episode and you just say somebody else is doing it, as opposed to things should be different now. They have different priorities, different favorites that they would play. And I thought that this all went really well.
Yeah, and in that opening segment, they gave you a why. They gave you a reason. They couldn't be fired because they have ironclad contracts. Mm-hmm. And because Tony's not on premises and they don't have his presence there, they have full autonomy to run the show as they want to. And I'm all about just coming up with whys and connecting dots, and it fills in a logic hole that may have existed as to why they wouldn't have been fired. And it's simple, but I did think it was effective. Richie R. saying the Elite Takeover has the potential to be AEW's best story ever. That being said, I really hope Kenny takes his time and heals up properly. And Alex, I want to ask you about that. Best story ever. A common criticism, whether it's in good faith or bad faith from a lot of people on AEW, is there's no stories, blah, blah, blah.
This seems
like a concerted effort to address that pretty firmly. What would you say?
Well, I firmly disagree with.
I mean, I disagree with that
with
too,
the assessment. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't think they need to be like, oh, so we don't have stories, huh? Well, here's a story for you. Like, it's just another story. They tell stories. You can't look at what the story they did with Hangman and Kenny and say they don't tell stories. You can't say they don't tell stories with MJF and Punk. You can't say they don't tell stories with Hangman and Swerve. Like there's been a lot of stories. Like just the idea of Christian turning heel, then going on his little run, win the TNT title, like feuding with Nick Wayne, then recruiting Nick Wayne, and then Nick Wayne's mom like joining him because the dude that Christian was feuding with tried to murder her son in the middle of the ring. Of course she would not like that and be like, okay, the better of two evils is this guy. I'll go with him. And now they're bringing that back. And they're also saying, okay, so Christian has a reason to want to take down Swerve because of the thing that Swerve did with Nick Wayne, which is great because Swerve being a bad dude, but now we like him. All of the bad stuff he used to do coming back to bite him now is a great, great story. And then also, you and I teamed together at All In and you lost and you made me look bad. I'm coming to get you for that. There's just good stories that permeate everything. Is it always good stories? No, but like nobody's batting 1,000 on telling good stories in wrestling. Right. I think that there are, for example, you have a Brian Cage and Claudio match. There's no story in that. It's just a decent wrestling match. And we never see usually just two guys wrestling on another company. Usually there's some reason for it. It may be hackneyed. It may be great. But I like the idea that occasionally I'm just going to see a good wrestling bout without anything attached to it. And maybe afterwards they'll attach something to it that makes it look better in retrospect. Yeah. I think this has the potential to be a really, really good story. Best ever? Well, I guess we'll have to see. But there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'll say about it. And I generally agree with your sentiment for the record. But this is clearly, and like very clearly, hitting over your head clear, the most pro wrestling angle AEW has ever done, right?
It's an angle, yeah.
Like this is, like you said, with Omega and Hangman, that took place over a long period of time.
Oh, a long period of time, yeah.
You know, and a lot of these stories have taken place, and that's great. Long-term storytelling is fantastic, and this takes... Yeah. Definitely elements from long-term storytelling, including with the Jack Perry stuff. But this is a 2001 WWF angle. This is a 1997 WCW angle with the intention of giving you something really hot to go into the summer with.
Yeah.
And my thought would probably be culminating or at least climaxing at All in London. So if that's the idea, they very much are trying to make it apparent that this is going to be the most important thing that you're going to care about on AEW television throughout most of the calendar year here. And it does set up an opportunity for hopefully a group of baby faces to really be elevated coming out of this. And we'll talk a lot about that too over the course of this. Richard saying, are they trying to turn the Elite into the NWO, Alex?
Well, I don't know. I mean, right now I feel like it's we're in a good place with it. If in 6 weeks they have 12 new guys, then we'll know they're trying to turn it into the NWO. But for now we're all right. I don't know if they're trying to turn the NWO. I mean, it's not a one-to-one comparison. I mean, the idea of, hey, it's the cool bad guys who are taking over the show. Like, there is a major analog in wrestling for that storyline, and it is the NWO. But not every time a group of cool bad guys take over the show will it be the NWO. Sometimes it's just a group of cool bad guys taking over the show.
Can you read this one from Ricardo, please? Because I feel like you could emote this better than I could.
Right, sure. Ricardo says, been waiting all day for this. Oh my God, they killed Kenny! You bastards! There you go.
It set itself up for that one. So it did lead us into this Christian Cage segment where he is announced by the Elite as one of the greatest Canadian professional wrestlers of all time and hadn't seen him for a while. And as you said, man, you know, they jump, swerve. He comes up with a great reason to, there's a great why for him attacking Swerve. There's another beatdown and Kill Switch quite literally pulls out a piece of Swerve's hair. It's brutal. This was a very long but physical segment. I didn't ever really put two and two together thinking that Swerve Christian would be a program, but I think it's actually a really good program, especially for Swerve to get, hopefully, get a win over the most clearly defined heel in all of AEW.
It's a really solid first pay-per-view program for Swerve. Christian is no longer the champion now, but his TNT title reign was pretty iconic. Like, he was doing some amazing heel work. He's the type of guy that if you have a heel who's a secondary champion for a long time, he loses the title. Absolutely, he should move up into the main event scene. He not necessarily to become the champion, but to be a credible challenger for the new babyface champion. I think it's a great angle. I love that he's like, you broke into my son Nick Wayne's house some time ago and left him laying in a pool of his own blood. And at the time, I didn't even know his name. But right now, I'm very angry about it. There is some really good stuff here. I like that. I also love, man, Mama Wayne in those boots is about 6'5". He's like, Swerve, turn around, and he's like, oh, hi, how's it going up there? That was some good stuff. I like that.
It was funny. I worry that it's going to lead to some bad faith internet takes from people, but it was a funny visual for sure. As far as I saw it.
It's going to all kinds of bad faith takes. Yeah, sure.
I did like Christian saying he's going to give Swerve's daughter a father figure to be proud of. He's so good, man. He is so freaking good at this. For him to be doing the caliber of work that he's doing at this stage in his career is a hell of a testament to the type of performer that Christian Cage is. And he's just fantastic. You got an update for us on Rampage, by the way?
Yeah. Jay White pinned Dante Martin. Good match. Fun stuff. Jay White came out wearing the baseball bat with three title belts looped in it. Like, that's how he walked down to the ring, like the baseball bat on his waist, and then the three title belts. I guess they have a new combined title belt, but he's also wearing the two old ones, so that's
pointless. But yes, I want to encourage everyone, get your super chats in right now. We'll read your question, we'll read your comment on air. Of course, that's a great way to support the Fightful team here, and we do appreciate it. That got us into the Adam Copeland versus Buddy Matthews TNT Championship match. This was an open challenge, and they tried to plant some seeds. Who's it going to be? It's Buddy who answers it. This was a long match. very, very physical to the point where Buddy Matthews was like shoot coughing up blood after a collision spot.
Was he shoot coughing?
It sure looked like it to me. I could be wrong. I might be wrong, but I mean, they let the match continue, so either he was fine or it was a work, but it's pretty hard to emulate that. Now it's possible they could have. But yeah.
I don't know if Aubrey went to check on him when the camera was on Copeland and she passed him a capsule. You know what I mean? I don't know, but like if a dude is shoot coughing up blood, that's where you go, okay, that's it. Because I mean, if the dude's spleen is ruptured, let's call off.
I mean, he could have also, for all we know, he could have also just like bit his tongue or something.
Oh, he should have absolutely called. But the fact that on commentary we're like, oh, he's coughing up blood.
Yeah.
He's bleeding internally, you guys.
I don't know, man.
Definitely go to the hospital. And then they're the match continues.
Obviously, he's like, if they continued the match, he's fine. But I don't know. Right. Like, I'm usually pretty on top of that stuff and like trying to figure out, okay, where did they do this? But
if he's like, it's okay, I bit my tongue, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, cool. But sell it like you have horrible internal bleeding. Yeah. He's like, great. We'll make this look good.
It could have just been a really well executed spot, which it's totally possible. But regardless, thought they had a real good match.
Sure.
I don't know how you felt about this. Something just seemed kind of flat about this crowd in Winnipeg.
Oh yeah, no, Winnipeg's not a good place to go. Don't go there. Don't go to Winnipeg. Sorry, it's
half the size of the crowd that they drew a year ago. I don't know what's going on in Winnipeg. If there's like a major, maybe they're just really depressed about the Jets. They're really depressed that their hockey team lost, and so they're not coming out tonight. I don't know. But they didn't seem to be into much of anything, and that was odd. So I don't know. It just, the crowd didn't seem to be into it. I thought this was a really good match. I thought that Copeland was working his ass off. Buddy's always going to give you 130%. This was fun. So he wins with the spear. They're tying in the earlier internal bleeding to the spear as the reason why he lost. But then he goes and gets two chairs, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa! What? Like you beat him? You won? You got revenge on the dude from making him bleed, cough up his own blood? Like you in kayfabe? You won. Going for the chairs seems a bit much. And then down the commentary, they were like, oh no, that black mist has turned him evil. And I was like, okay, that might be an overreach on commentary. But then the lights go out, and then Malachi Black is standing next to him, and he just goes, do it.
Yeah, he's doing the whole Palpatine gimmick.
He becomes the Kermit the Frog meme, where the Kermit the Frog with the hood, do it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, should I do it? And then Matthews is like, do it. I don't know. What should I do? Like, you could tell Copeland was really weirded out. Now, they haven't really done the Black Mist is corrupting people.
Yeah.
Really? Since Julia and before her Pac, where he had to wrestle blindfolded. Man, I really wish he was still wrestling blindfolded. That was the coolest gimmick for like a week. But I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see. But he's obviously a little weirded out by it. He's got Brody King next week. I'm assuming he then will have Malachi one-on-one, a double or nothing. Will he fully go crazy? Like,
he'll be Judgment Day Edge again.
But as long as he doesn't start coming out and cutting promos on how everybody in the town stinks because their town stinks and also they're fat. Like, that was his whole shtick when he was Judgment Day Edge, and I didn't like that stuff. I don't think he liked it either, Alex,
for the record.
I wouldn't mind like Malachi being like, listen, you may have beaten me, but we won because we turned you into the darkness thing. I don't hate that. A lot of people really hate that because you should be trying to win. And my thing is that I would prefer Malachi Black to win the title because I'm a big Malachi Aleister Black fan. But if the plan is to not have him win, to have him actually fully corrupt Adam Copeland could be an interesting angle out of all of this. We will see.
Embrace
what they
the
do
hate.
With this. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not something I desire to see, but I can see it align with Malakai Black's character. I'm with you. I think a Malakai Black singles win might be kind of cool, considering it doesn't really happen ever.
It would, and he was great. As we haven't seen him be a singles champ since he was in NXT, and he was great as a singles champ in NXT.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of great, this was kind of a throwaway segment, but I actually thought it was a great throwaway segment, and that was Samoa Joe versus Isaiah Cassidy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will look at this match on the surface and be like, it doesn't really mean anything. I actually thought this match delivered really big for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Zay was great in this match, and he is just trying to fully embody Jeff Hardy by taking a suicida to the outside and the greatest nope spot in pro wrestling history, perhaps, as Joe walked away on that. Seemed to me like this was kind of a way to get Samoa Joe back on the babyface side of the equations. What do you think?
Well, it certainly...
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looked more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of five-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular price order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boost of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
At least to get him in a position where you can start building something new with him. Because, you know, the guy's the champion. He's the champion. He loses to Swerve. And then, like, what do you do with him? Well, you want to show that he's still got it. And that we're not going to, like, put him on the back burner for 4 months. Like, we're doing something with him. We're coming out of his title loss with something. I thought this was a lot of fun. Even when Swerve was fully healing it up, he was still getting cheered when he would do, like, walk away spots and certain things like that. So he's we'll see how much they I don't really need a baby face Joe. Just
I mean,
tweener.
He was very baby face in this match, dude.
Oh,
he was
sure
playing for the crowd the entire time. And
but he did that too, and all, like, so many of his title defenses as champion and before that too, where he would, you know just play to whatever the crowd wanted. He's not a heel who's gonna be like, what, you're chanting for tables? Well, no tables for you. Like, he doesn't mind giving the crowd what they want, but he will also take apart one of their favorite dudes in the process. Mm. So, like, there's some stuff there. I like the nuance of Joe as a tweener that we love to watch kick ass. Like, that is probably the sweet spot for Joe. Now, where they go from here, I don't know. But there's a lot of stuff you could do with him. in a lot of different storylines.
What do you think of Zay in this match?
He's the perfect, you know, comedy foil for this particular kind of match. He does the scream thing on the flapjack. He gets beeled around. I loved the finish where he's like, I'm going to do a monkey flip. And Samoa Joe is like, what are you doing? And he puts him into the muscle buster. Perfect.
Yeah. Probably not the betting odds favorite for that particular match was Isaiah Cassidy, but hypothetically, if you want to put some money on him, I got a way to help you do that.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Like I said, I dug it, man. I'm with it. We got a promo for Sky Blue ahead of the match with Willow. Has that match started yet?
No. Right now they're doing Rocky Romero versus Kyle O'Reilly, which is set up on Dynamite. Also, formally, the Learning Tree has accepted a shrub into its forest. Big Bill is a very tall shrub, but he will be sitting at the foot of the Learning Tree because Chris Jericho said, okay, thanks for handing me the match with Shibata. I will teach you all of the things that I know. I am the Learning Tree. So,
well, we will learn more about the Learning Tree in a little bit on this show, as I'm sure you can't wait to talk about it. Here's a segment I do want to talk about. Orange Cassidy is in the ring. He starts getting pretty serious cutting this promo about the match from this past weekend between Chuck and Trent. He takes his glasses off, and as he's about to get real serious, Trent interrupts and he says Chuck's career is over. And then Orange Cassidy charges the ramp. Security tries to hold him back. Chris Statlander comes out to try to create peace. Don Callis corrals Orange Cassidy and walks him to the back. There was a lot going on in this segment, and the biggest piece of news that came from it, as Matty Nice points out, Chucky, that news killed the vibes for me. I've been talking around here to some people, Alex, and it seems to me like this Chuck Taylor news might be pretty legit, and that could be it for Chucky.
So, like, he was out forever. He got cleared for this match, and during the match, he re-aggravated the same thing or got a new thing, and he's done forever.
I don't know the extent of that, and I'm sure Sean will have some.
But I mean, like not specifically asking you, but that's what, if indeed he's done, his career is over, then that appears to have been what happened. Either he re-aggravated the same thing that he was out with for a long time. He was out for a long time. This was his first match back, or he did something new. I would have to go back and watch that brawl to find if there was something I missed.
It's also possible that he got cleared, but he's still not 100%. And he's like, this is it for me. Like, I'm going to do this match, pay it off. And that's going to be, possible. He wanted his last match to be with Trent.
Sure.
If
that was the case, it kind of stinks that it was just like a match they taped at 2 a.m. for a Rampage. Like, I would have loved to have seen the way that they would have had him go out on a grander stage. If that was the case, if he knew that was his last match, and maybe that's what he wanted it. Maybe he wanted it to be that. I'm holding out hope that this is some kind of like a work that we can, that it'll be like, he'll come back. We'll say, all right, I think I can do one more in me or whatever. And we get
would get another thing, but I that would really suck.
Yeah,
because Chuck's a really good worker, a great dude.
Package, man. Best Friends freaking ruled, and they were a huge part of AEW launching in the first place. But you know, I did have one critical part of this segment, and that was when Orange Cassidy is talking, and he's much more serious. And I think Orange Cassidy is one of the greatest characters in wrestling because when you start unpeeling the layers and he starts to emerge and show who he really is, it's a really unique presentation that nobody else matches. And when his intensity kicks up, it's very special. And he starts getting serious. He takes the glasses off, and I'm ready for him to just like lay into Trent and get really serious and try and provide an underlying case for why we should truly, truly care about this program that's going to stem from them. And they cut it off too quickly. And that might have been the intent, but I did think I did think that that probably robbed us from engaging further in the segment. At least it did for me. I don't know how you felt about that.
No, I was expecting the same thing, and I think it was intentional because we're getting this new intrigue out of this that nobody wants.
Well, and that
so like you know what I mean.
What in the blue hell are they doing with Orange Cassidy and Don Callis?
I thought we were getting Callis to come out and whisper some stuff in the ear of Trent, who's evil and would absolutely like because Chuck apparently is gone. Rocky later in the thing he swears off everybody. Orange Cassidy's gone. Trent's alone. Like Statlander doesn't want anything to do with him. So he's alone. So he's the perfect guy who's evil and willing to do anything to hurt anybody. And he gets honey poured in his ear by the great evil soothsayer, Don Callis. Two, here's another thing we should talk about, I guess. Powerhouse Hobbs out for an extended period of time because he did hurt himself in that match with Mox. So if he's going to have a family, he's got to replace Powerhouse Hobbs with somebody. The person him replacing being Orange Cassidy, who's like angry enough at Trent to fully turn to the dark side is like that's a Star Wars story JJ Abrams wouldn't even touch. Like, I mean, I don't know that I'm down with that. That I don't know where that's going, but I'm not excited about it.
I'm with you on that. I don't like that idea. Like, I have no problems with adding layers to Orange Cassidy, but I don't know. It just,
I just feel like Don Callis isn't
the guy. Well, it's
but almost, with Cassidy.
You know what it is? It's almost just shoehorning Don Callis into
things
that he probably doesn't need to be involved with. Like, I think the simplest role for Don Callis after this Hobbs injury is probably just going and managing Takeshita. That's probably like the extent of really all we need with Don Callis, truthfully.
Right.
And I think that would be a much more effective usage of Don Callis, considering Takeshita doesn't get a lot of mic time himself. So having Callis be his mic man, and he's a good heat generator for someone like Takeshita, that seems to be where the role should be pigeonholed. Yeah. But alas, you know, trying to add more layers here. I really wanted to see Cassidy.
I do too, and I feel like there's more to it. We're getting Trent versus Cassidy next week on Dynamite and not a Double or Nothing, or maybe we're getting it starting next week, but they have to like they've got to do more of it and they'll do the rest of it at Double or Nothing. But it did not feel like this was when they did it, this was building to a Dynamite match. Yeah. It felt like this was a Double or Nothing thing when they pulled it off. So we'll see.
For sure. The Elite were interviewed backstage by Renee. So again, more show-long storytelling. Mm-hmm. And this was right after the crossover. So they're hitting you over the course of the episode with it. Right. They don't really feel like talking to her, but they say Jack Perry will.
Yeah.
And he reiterates that he only wants what's best for AEW. And what's best for AEW is the Elite being in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets us a question here from Aaron. Just wondering, was it ever confirmed if AEW has the Punk World title belt? I think it'd be really great TV if they put the Real World Championship on Jack Perry.
That could be fun, especially if they're like, you know, I did half expect the Matthew and Nicholas to handpick Jack Perry as the opponent for Swerve. Just because Okada's already got his belt, they're the tag champs, here's Jack Perry, and then like try and pull all the strings they possibly could to get Swerve to lose, yeah, even though Swerve would retain. And then what do you do with Jack Perry? Maybe then you give him his own world title belt. This is the good one anyway.
That's good
this
stuff.
This is the one has the real lineage. I don't need that one. You can keep that one, Swerve. I got the real one. Maybe that was going to be the path. I'm happy about the Christian and Swerve thing, but I don't know where the angle is for Jack Perry if you don't have him already attempt to beat Swerve and then fail. So then maybe we'll just do it anyway.
I think having him lose this early into the run might be a little too soon. You know, wins and losses allegedly do matter more. Nate, I do want to say, by the way, with the Bucks putting Christian against Swerve, I mean, we can agree the rankings are totally dead again entirely, right?
Here's the thing. I don't mind it with the EVPs in charge. They're running roughshod. Yeah. They're doing whatever they want. The rankings only matter when we say they matter because we're the evil authority figures. I'm fine with it coming out of that story. I would like them to either be abolished or to fully matter and not be like, well, the rankings just came out and it looks like you're on top, you get the title match, and then the next month, we don't even mention the rankings. There's got to, like, pick one and stick with it, so.
Again, want to encourage people, leave your super chats in for us. We'll make sure we get your comments, your questions read on air here as we continue to go through this Dynamite. Any Rampage update you got for us here?
Kyle O'Reilly was able to beat Rocky Romero, so it was decent. For what I saw of it, it was a good match. I mean, shocker, Kyle O'Reilly and Rocky Romero had a good match, so.
Yeah, and we'll get to Kyle O'Reilly a little bit more. Yeah. Later here. All right. Everyone's been waiting, man. For the World Championship match.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chris Jericho defeats Shibata thanks to some interference from Big Bill here. They got...
Holy thanks to, like, entirely thanks to Big Bill. Because Shibata was about ready to win. And, yeah, so that's what we got.
They got a lot of shit in this match. There was tomfoolery everywhere. It was a ridiculous match on purpose.
There was actually some really fun stuff.
Very fun stuff.
It might be that Jericho should just do ridiculous plunder stuff with themed weapons.
And
that's it.
So following up on that comment, like, this is what this Learning Tree character is. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous character. Sure. Even to the point where he came out in the short trunks, you know, like the old Y2J in this. And he's waving to the people. They got Ted Irvine, his father, right front row, going nuts. It's super, as we talked about last week, Bo Dallas-y, over the top, lean into the bit. And, you know, I know there's a lot of hate on Jericho right now, and I know you're not exactly one to be too fond of him, but... if they're going to keep him on TV, and if this is going to be the route that they're going to go, this is probably the best route you can go with it. Is that a fair statement?
Right. Like, my thing is, you don't need to keep Jericho on TV.
I'm not suggesting that, but I'm saying
if somebody tells me you have to keep Jericho on TV, but I get to choose how they use him. Him being afraid of a man wearing a trash can for a hat is definitely the way I would go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that spot was great where Shibata is wearing the trash can, and then he hits him with the trash can with a kendo stick, and he no-sells it by walking toward him. And by the end, you get a ridiculous image of Chris Jericho begging off a trash can. Like Chris Jericho, who's just horribly afraid of his own father. Because he sees because he was born in a dumpster. I am so done with Jericho on all fronts, but this is the best way to use him if you have to use him. And also, okay, so do I want it to be Big Bill? No, Big Bill's incredibly talented. He should do other things. But the idea that Big Bill just runs in, choke slams a guy into the table, and that's Jericho was done. He was done. He was getting no offense in. He had lost the match.
Did you see his chest?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to take bumps anymore, so just beat my chest till it turns purple.
is a thing that, you know, sometimes you got to do. So I guess my thing is the learning, calling him, like, his music starts with "I am the learning tree," and this is what I need the Titantron to look like. I just need this. I just needed to. I am the learning tree, and it's this up on the big screen, because that is when I hear Chris Jericho say the words "I am the learning tree," that's what I think of in my mind. You know,
it's good. That's good. Amanda's saying Bill is now a shrubbery. Great.
I mean, I don't know what you do if you're learning at the foot of the learning tree. I don't know. There's shrubs usually at the foot of trees. I don't know.
Ryan saying my weekly too much Jericho on TV super chat. We appreciate it. Thanks for that. And Steph also adding, Jericho stuff was so long, I was able to watch all of Abbott Elementary, then back for Serena versus Mariah.
It was a long match. It was a long match. I mean, also, while we're at it, Copeland versus Matthews was a long match.
Long match.
Like, they didn't have to have all the matches be that long.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that happens a lot on Dynamite. Like, sometimes you just get something that lasts so friggin' long. But look, they were in Canada, right? Like, this is Chris Jericho's.
Yeah.
And Winnipeg specifically, they're there, and that's his place. And, you know, it's not like they get a chance to just tune into TBS every single week. You know, they got to watch on their own terms. And, you know, if you're in Canada and you're in that situation, we can help you watch AEW.
There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful.
That got us to, has the Willow match started yet, by the way?
It's starting right now.
Okay. Well, that got us to our interview with Willow, Chris Statlander, and Stokely Hathaway backstage with Renee. And she read a text that was handed to her by none other than Will Washington, making his AEW Dynamite debut, by the way. And it ended with "Have a great show, LFG," which I thought was just so great.
Yeah,
I don't know, Alex, how anyone, look, to each your own. You can like what you like, you can dislike what you dislike. I think these elite characters, specifically the Buck, right now, are just firing on all cylinders.
They are a perfect satire of bosses in current American office culture. Like, it just idea of, and it's great. Because both of them are the two sides of the coin. But I just the one time where they came out with a gift card to like say they were sorry, here's a gift card to Starbucks for $5 or whatever it was. Like, there's just some really good stuff. And LFG, like, as like signing off an email with LFG, let's do it.
Well, it's a Tony Khan spoof.
Sure.
Tony Khan.
It's spoofing Tony Khan specifically, but also just everything about, everybody's had, recently, you've had a boss who's trying too hard to be your friend.
Right.
Well, you know, if you cross him or do anything wrong, you're gone.
You're gone. Right. Exactly. So in the segment, Chris Statlander apologizes to Willow for getting in between with the CEO and her, and causing their brouhaha last week. And we find out that for the Sky Blue match, that Stokely and Statlander are banned from ringside. And Stokely says, "What apart from my own actions have I done to deserve this?"
Right.
Which I thought was a classic Stokely Hathaway line.
Yes.
And a good promo. Man, listen, Willow's a good promo. I like Willow a lot as your feisty baby face. What do you think?
I think Willow's great. And I mean, I have...
I've fully booked myself into a fantasy that if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be really angry kind of a thing with Willow losing to Mercedes because Chris and Stokely were working for Mercedes the whole time.
Yep.
And then Mercedes bringing in Megan Bain or Camille to like flesh out this thing and like
the enforcer,
Willow trying to bring to get back to that title and to get back to Mercedes. And it takes her 8-10 months to get back to it. And when she finally does, like maybe at that point, Chris will have seen the error of her ways and helps Willow regain the title. Something like that. So a really cool, like long-term storytelling thing. We get a long reign for Mercedes, and she's got these enforcers who are doing all of her dirty work, and Willow gets to be this, you know, white meat baby face, and we get a cheer for her on her road back. There's a really cool storyline to do in the TBS division of the women's division of AEW. I don't know that they're going to do all of that, but I feel fairly confident in the beginning of it that Mercedes beats her because at least she's got Statlander on Mercedes' side.
Yeah, I mean, they're leaning into that pretty heavily. Yeah. So I would not be surprised by that at all. Again, guys, leave your super chats, get your comment, your question read on air here. We continue on. Claudio versus Brian Cage. Brian Cage had Prince Nana in his corner. Mm-hmm. Why does the Mogul Embassy exist at this point?
I don't know that it...
So why is Prince Nana in his corner?
I mean, Prince Nana has been with it. We haven't seen Cage or Toa Leona or Khan with Swerve in a long time. Prince Nana is just his manager who comes out and does the dance. Like, I don't know if the Mogul Embassy, all those other guys are still with Swerve. If they're not, I would then, if I was Swerve, saying, where were you when I was getting my ass kicked by a dinosaur?
That's my point, because it's like, you know what I mean? Where the hell were they?
Where like I was getting my ass handed to me by a dinosaur and a teenager and then another dinosaur. Like what are we doing out here?
So I just realized I got the Andrew Zarian going on here. So I'm trying to adjust appropriately. No, but and like two, like if you had Brian Cage in your corner, there's a natural setup for Brian Cage and Killswitch, right? Like there's a natural setup for that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if Swerve
said in a promo on Rampage that he won't be alone next week.
Okay. So maybe that's where they're going.
Which could be Cage. It could be, I would hope because he would, if he would say, I won't be alone next week. And then appearing next to him will be Cage. That's one thing, but like, I won't be alone next week. ... leads me to believe there's somebody we haven't thought of yet or seen around in a while kind of a thing for Swerve. I hope it's the latter. I feel like the embassy feels like a different version of Swerve.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, like bringing a new guy to help out Swerve would be nice.
Sure. Yeah, that could be interesting. Hey, Luis suggesting AR Fox.
AR Fox back in the good graces of Swerve would be nice. That would be a nice little thing to do, especially because maybe that would like give Nick Wayne PTSD.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Right.
That might be interesting.
So Claudio defeated Brian in this match. Again, like you said before, kind of just a wrestling match for the sake of a wrestling match. A chance for Claudio to show his strength. I thought it was fine for what it was. My biggest issue, again, it just the crowd really did not seem invested in much of this at all.
This was one of your, hey, cool. What's happening? Like, it just felt like nobody knew why this match was taking place. I really enjoyed Swerve versus Claudio on Collision, and mm-hmm. I love Claudio's promo, and I'm really happy they played a part of it.
Yep.
Of like, I'm not the shiny new toy. I'm the wooden toy you just can't break. I'm like, I mean, listen, Claudio's really good at these kind of promos, and it's crazy to me they never let him talk for years and years and years because he might have an accent, but he's really good at being this character.
Yeah, but he can yodel.
So I liked that a lot. I just felt like I didn't understand why it was specifically happening other than to keep Claudio on TV, get him a win since he just had a loss, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what it was. Rocky challenged Kyle O'Reilly. We got to that before. Okay, Serena Deeb defeated Mariah May. Tony Storm threw in the towel to protect Mariah here. So listen, crowd was dead for a lot of this. Then they slowly started to get them. I got a lot of thoughts on this. Good to see Serena Deeb get a singles match on Dynamite. She's still just really so freaking good at this pro wrestling thing. She really is. I think, pardon me, I think AEW sees a lot in Mariah May.
Right.
I think Tony Khan sees Mariah May as a major figurehead of this division for years to come, because I can't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't think of any other woman on AEW television that gets as much ring time as Mariah May does these days.
She does get a lot, a lot,
and
a lot.
And yeah, and she gets different presentations of her. Like, we've seen her with Mina, we've seen her with Tony. She is a consistent on pretty much every episode of AEW programming.
Right.
I think they really see her as a building block for that division. And when she and Tony have their eventual blow off, whenever that comes, it's going to be a focal point of Dynamite for sure. And they dropped another breadcrumb here with Tony throwing in the towel for her, but it wasn't out of disappointment. It was out of concern. She hated seeing her understudy being beat up like that. And I thought this match, even though it wasn't super hot for the live crowd, I thought that it served a lot of purposes and was very successful in furthering the story. What do you think?
Yeah, I liked that ending, because Mariah May was showing a lot of, like, her running knee is crazy good, and she's doing a lot of really good stuff. But Serena Deeb with the single leg crab and smashing the knee into the mat to get it all out of place, then cranking on the joint end, and Mariah May not being willing to tap out to disappoint, you know, as Tony's, if Tony Storm calls Mariah May my child, then she doesn't want to disappoint her mom. And so Mariah May is not going to give up. So Tony Storm has to give up for her, which then plays right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Into, because of that, Serena Deeb is now your number one contender for Double or Nothing. And it feels like the way that they think they should be going, I don't know if they are, but the way they should be going is Mariah May falling out of favor with Tony Storm, because Tony Storm gets more and more paranoid. And then eventually Mariah May wins a battle royal or something, and she's the number one contender. And that Tony Storm does not like that. She no longer trusts Mariah May, and there's a falling out, which leads to Mariah May beating her idol, Tony Storm, for the title. And then you can have this really cool moment there of Tony Storm fully collapsing, like in a paranoiac fit, to lose the title to the person that she trusted the most, which will then send her spiraling on a completely alternate craziness. Or maybe it snaps her out of it entirely. I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff you can do.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of pretty much everything they've done with Mariah May. I thought the way that she was introduced was one of the most unique introductions any woman in AEW's, any character in AEW has gotten, truthfully. And I think they've fired on all cylinders with her. And she is someone that I look forward to seeing on TV every week. She's very self-aware. And we'll see what comes from that story, but I would assume there's still a long-term payoff to that. I'm hearing that this Willow match is getting a little crazy over on
Willow just won. There were thumbtacks, a crazy thumbtack spot, and then Willow won with a doctor bomb off the apron through a barbed wire board on a table.
Oh,
that was how she won. This was good. This was a really good women's hardcore match. One of the best I've seen.
There you go.
That finishing spot was nasty. Great stuff.
There you go. I mean, look, anything that makes Willow the Popeye of the women's division, I'm down with. You know, I mean, that's how she should be presented. And so that's good stuff. Good stuff there. Which got us to our main event segment here. And that was Kenny Omega returning. Cuts a long promo about how the doctors basically told him that he was 24 hours away from dying. And that he got very lucky.
I really liked the him describing the choice he was given. We can either cut you open now and get all that bad stuff out of you, but you'll have to wear a colostomy bag for 6 months, 12 months, maybe for the rest of your life. We won't know. And of course, like, okay, 6 months, I'm out 6 months because I got the, I can't wrestle with a colostomy bag. So if I tell you yes, and I'm out for 6 months, fine. If I'm out for 12 months, I can do a year. But if you're telling me, if I tell you now to take all this bad stuff out of me, I may never be able to wrestle again because of a choice that I make. What if I say no? Well, if we say no, then you could heal on your own, but you're a ticking time bomb. And this crucially what he says, any blunt force trauma to the stomach may kill you. Like the way that he says it, pointedly, he says those words differently than everything else surrounding them. So you know for a fact they're definitely doing a stomach shot with a chair or something later on in the segment. And when they do, it totally pays off because the crowd goes deathly silent when the chair shot happens later in the segment because they were primed for it by Kenny saying, any blunt force trauma to the stomach could kill you. And they were like, did we just watch Kenny Omega die? There was a really cool moment later.
Right. Yeah. Well, I agree with you. Like anything in pro wrestling is best when you blend reality with fiction. Right. And I thought Kenny did a masterful job with that. They tease a huge moment with Okada. Huge moment with Okada with him coming down. And Kenny basically says, give me a couple months and let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. And that's, listen, for my money, that's still, aside from Rock Roman,
right?
Roman versus Omega, Okada versus Omega on U.S. soil or in AEW still probably the biggest match that you can do out there. And they did a great job teasing that. And eventually this leads to Jack Perry coming in, doing his shit-eating grin. Which is now going to be a thing. Like that's his, thing.
That's his thing, man.
And he beats the shit out of Kenny. Kenny gets a little bit of a comeback, starts whooping his ass. And then there's the cutoff from Okada on the outside. Chair shot to the gut from Perry. Yep. The Elite come down, the Young Bucks rather.
The looks of fake concern on the Young Bucks every time they come down to like stop
that's
something.
That's their gimmick, right?
Hey, now this is getting out of hand, fellas. Like, listen, listen, Jack. Okada, we're on your side, believe me, but this just breaks all rules of decorum. Like they have these fake looks of just hold on now. Oh no, we should probably give these guys the EVP. They should give this guy the EVP trip.
They're deeply offended by what they're seeing.
We'll do it. Like oh
right. My God. Right. They're deeply offended by what they're seeing until it's in their hands. So let's diagnose this here. Because there's clearly, and you know, we were pretty on top of this last week talking about it. Like this is heading down a path of, and by the way, FTR makes a save on Kenny. This is clearly heading down a path of the Elite's AEW versus Team AEW at some point, somewhere,
right,
someplace. So breaking this down further. You said at the top of the show, we learned a lot about Kenny's current status based on this segment. Mm-hmm. We saw him bumping around. We saw him tossing people around. That tells me that he's probably been cleared in some capacity. What say you?
Right.
You agree?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're not doing what they did with Kenny tonight
unless they know for a fact that at some point
he will wrestle again.
He will wrestle again. Yeah. Like, you don't, like, he was doing moves, and then he took that the chair bump, the chair shot to the gut, the EVP trigger. And then later they wheel him out to the ambulance in a stretcher. The Young Bucks and Okada and Perry take out FTR. And then Matthew Jackson leans into Kenny, off mic, but you can hear it through the camera's mic. And he's like, Kenny, you know I love you, buddy. But, you know, this is just business. We've got to change the world, right? And then they dump the stretcher over, and he lands like a sack of dirt on his hip on the concrete from about 4 feet up, which can't have felt good. No. So, like, that was a really cool moment of, like, we're going to screw with you if you come back, kind of a thing. You know, like, there's a lot of – there's some – there was some really – this is a really, really solid angle with a guy that especially Winnipeg loves, but we love in Kenny Omega, to get all that heat on the bad guys. FTR trying to help. Really not so much that they love Kenny Omega, but this, they hate the friggin' Young Bucks so much.
Yeah.
And that we love FTR. So them getting taken out, and it was really hard to, like, watch Dax having been beaten down, not able to help Kenny in that last moment with the stretcher. This is all really good stuff, and I think certainly leads to a big like for control of the company type of a deal.
Team Kenny versus Team Bucks.
Team Kenny versus Team Bucks. The Elite versus Team AEW.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the new Elite versus that. You were saying All In. I think this is the kind of thing, because of the way they're still insisting on doing this. All In one weekend, All Out the next weekend. You could fully anchor All Out around that match.
Oh, 100%.
All In, you could do all your big title matches and everything, but All Out, that is the match
people are paying
tickets to see.
Listen, All In, if cleared, should be Kenny versus Okada. It should be Kenny versus Okada.
Right.
That's your huge attraction match for that show, and for the AEW fan base, that's the biggest stage you can do it on, right? But I agree with you. I think All Out would be a great way to do it. I just like the pun on All In. You know, you're going all in and doing this Survivor Series style winner takes all match, and I think that's it. And that's for me. And look, it could be a blood and guts match too, right? Like it could be a blood and guts match, and that to me is a really exciting prospect for AEW, because AEW hasn't ventured into that territory in these 5 years where the stakes are that high for the totality of the company.
Yeah.
You know, like individuals have had high stakes in matches. Cody had very high stakes in his matches. Mm-hmm. But in totality, it feels like this is an angle I got to see play out, because it will have ramifications on what is to come for months and months and months.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's one of those things where it's got to pay off. The payoff's got to be perfect, which is why I know you can never plan for these kind of things, man. But I think if you say this match is paying off at All Out with all these people in it, I think we got to put those dudes in bubble wrap to make sure. Because if Kenny, I don't know, sprains a knee in his match with Okada the week before, and then Kenny's not involved in the big blow-off thing, which it's all revolving around Team Kenny versus Team Bucks, I don't know. Because the thing for me is, the only thing they were selling All Out on 2 weeks before All Out was Darby versus Christian, and that's it. If you're selling All Out 2 months prior with this thing coming down the pike, this is where we're settling it, right here. Like, then you could really build that into a separate, huge event because of the ramifications of that match. And maybe those guys who are involved in it aren't on the All-In card, but the best part about it is, you've got all these other dudes who you could do all these really big time, huge matches with.
Yeah. So, and maybe you use All In to kind of like what they did with WrestleMania this year, where night one set the stakes for night two. Maybe Okada versus Kenny is stakes for that eventual payoff match. Right. You know, the winner of that set either a stipulation or if it's blood and guts control, you know, something like that. Like,
yes.
Like, I'm all about stakes. I think stakes add so much to pro wrestling. And we've seen Okada versus Omega 4 times already. So how are you going to up that?
Right.
Let's add a little something to it, you know? And sure. And I think that's, I mean, do you agree with me that we're getting Okada versus Omega before we get the payoff of this? Assuming Kenny stays
healthy. You said, give me a couple of months. So like they'll be doing something. I mean, a couple of months from right now is Forbidden Door-ish. Like that's the very last weekend of June is Forbidden Door. So that's basically 2 months from now. So like, but I don't
know.
Also maybe
say this angle tonight pushed that recovery time back.
Well, sure. They could easily do that. Yeah. But so I'm not sure what the timeline is, but like, that's a major, major match to do Omega, Okada in AEW proper is a huge thing to run it back.
Yeah. Certainly so. I want to get the super chat from Jamie. Here's me manifesting new elite Bucks Okada Perry in a heel hanger. Okay, I like that. Versus team AEW FTR Omega Motor City Machine Guns, or instead of that, it's Swerve and Eddie in Blood and Guts.
Now, listen, I love MCMG. They have nothing to do with AEW.
Nothing to do with the story whatsoever.
Like
this
they have what's great about them is you can have them anchoring a tag division that doesn't involve the Bucks by that point.
Absolutely.
In the All In match, winning I feel like if you're going to be involved in this match, you have to have been in AEW for at least a full calendar.
You know who it should be? The Lucha Brothers.
Like they're a big enough, they're at least a long term enough people. Eddie Kingston should be involved in it. Well, Moxley should be involved in it just for the hell of it. You know what
I mean? But the Lucha Brothers are the Bucks' true Achilles heel, right?
Sure. So that's true too. There's a lot. And honestly, you could easily, because I know how good he would play it either way, you could easily get me to Hangman on either side.
Yeah.
Because him still being unhinged and not liking Swerve, but doing it because he does not like what the Bucks have done to All Elite Wrestling, his home. Like you could either have him come back and be ready to join them and them jump him out of the gang because they're mad with power. And then he says, okay, well, I'm on the other side now. There's honestly, you could do either whatever you wanted to do with him. It would work either way.
Maybe all of this story ends with Team AEW winning because Chris Jericho helped them win. Who's to say, you know?
He would absolutely pitch that. He would pitch that.
Oh, well, it's Delgado 6 is my weekly Alex is right about Jericho contribution. So there you go. Yeah. Another one from Jambeard saying Okada versus Omega Continental title versus Omega's EVP position at Wembley.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Continental title, but Omega's EVP position being on the line in the match, I kind of dig that because Okada would naturally want that being aligned with the Elite.
Sure. I mean, you got to have something be on the line. If Okada is still the champion at that point, like I'll put the title on the line if you put your EVP position on the line, and you have Kenny somehow win that so he's involved in that way. So
Killer Anime and I saying mostly Machine Guns potentially Swerve's backup.
I don't know how that correlates. I don't know if those guys have any history, but I love the idea of a surprise on that level.
Sure,
being the guys who show up with Swerve next week.
Yeah.
Like that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Want to wrap up our super chats here. We got BB bets on Dynamite going 3 hours with the new TV deal. More likely than not,
It feels like this is testing the waters.
Yeah.
Like I mean, obviously it's because of the NBA playoffs, but also let's see what happens when we do 3 hours live back to back. You know, I honestly felt like the angle of Omega being beaten down, that went at least 5 or 6 minutes into Rampage's hour. Like they were not at all worried about the crossover times at all. They just let that angle play out. And it felt like they were like, this is what we would do if it was a 3-hour block.
Yeah.
We wouldn't worry about that. The top of the final hour would have major stuff happening in it. We wouldn't worry about that. Let's see how that goes. Because when they have had 3-hour blocks in the past, usually Dynamite ends, Rampage begins, and that was not the case tonight.
The AEW media rights deal for Warner Brothers Discovery, as far as that's concerned, Jimmy and I talked about it a lot on the hump today, but whatever's going on with the NBA right now is going to have massive ripple effects on Warner Brothers Discovery, NBCU, I mean, across the industry. And AEW, for better or for worse, we don't really know, could be affected by that.
Yeah.
You know, ad rate, if the NBA were to leave WBD, WBD's ad rate plummets right off the bat. So what kind of effect is that? And we know that pro wrestling doesn't generate ad rate numbers that other properties do. And even though AEW doesn't share real estate with the NBA as far as Dynamite's concerned, Dynamite being on TBS, you know, Rampage is on TNT, Collision's on TNT. So what does that ultimately look like? Does Rampage even exist in the new AEW media rights deal? My gut says probably not. So we will find out what happens on that front. I want to thank Matthew too for saying this. Could we get a weekly show with Alba and Jimmy? Really enjoyed the hump the last couple of weeks. I'm being dead serious. I think it'd go well. I had a great time with it, and I want to thank Jimmy and Sean for having me fill on that. And we're sending our best to Sean. He's been going through it right now. So sending him our best wishes there. That does it for our super chats here. Alex, any other thoughts here? Anything that we missed on Rampage that we should hit on? I feel like we pretty much...
Deanna basically saying that now Thunder Rosa wants to make it personal. You don't want to get personal with a Jersey girl.
It's true. You don't. I've done it many times.
Yeah. Saraya and Harley Cameron are challenging Stoney Storm and Mariah. Mariah versus Harley Cameron next week, I guess.
Is that Harley's in-ring debut?
Might be.
Yeah, I think that might be.
I think it might be. And then Roddy Strong, we're like, Ospreay's going to fall to the Messiah, the backbreaker. Sure he will. But yeah, I think that's it. It is Harley's in-ring debut. There you go.
How about that? How about that? Kate says it's
true. Roosh is saying he will make people put respect on his name. So,
okay.
There you go.
I don't know where you put respect on Roosh. Maybe the R. It's very possible. Kate says it's true regarding the Jersey girls thing. Kate knows my heart lies with a Philly girl rather than a Jersey girl. But that was good stuff, man. That was good stuff. And Tom LaValle, by the way, saying, give me Motor City Machine Guns.
I believe.
Oh, no. I misread that.
That's Mason Mansoor.
That is Mason Mansoor. I misread that. I'm sorry. Hey, that would be something.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Dynamite that you want to share before we
bounce off the air? No. I mean, honestly, I'm very excited about where this could lead. I am excited about Christian being Swerve's first pay-per-view opponent. I'm really excited about the potential of what Will Ospreay could do for the international title moving forward.
Who was not even mentioned on this show, by the way.
Like, No, it's okay. It's cool. He's got the week off. He gets the week off to spend with his stepson and wife, bruv. Like, there's got a lot of stuff he's got to do over there. So, like, there's some cool stuff here. No Collision on Saturday. They packed as much as they could into 3 hours tonight. And I feel like Double or Nothing, the card will start to shape up next week, and we'll get a lot of good stuff.
It's a very, very busy time right now in AEW, and as you said at the start of the show, transformative. If this works out, it could be a major interest angle. We'll find out how that all plays out. But I appreciate you having me the past couple of weeks here, Alex. Hopefully next week Sean is back in black on this program here. You can find me at John Alba on socials, and the host of The Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, of course, which we did an episode that we taped today about Drew McIntyre, which is a very good episode. And also WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. I do some pretty cool stuff over there. I do tape studies of famous matches and current matches. I do Ask Albas and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. That's WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. Check it out. Check out Fightful Select, FightfulSelect.com. $5, best $5 in wrestling you're going to find. I really do mean that. Special thanks to Luis and Kate for being here as well. He's Alex Pawlowski. I'm John Alba. We will see you next time right here on Fightful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.